is SBR, the People's Pod, giving you unfiltered and unqualified content every single week. I'm Cliffy's Joe. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
It is fire right now. We just had a... Joe just ranted. He's ready. He's ready to go. Nick Wright making him mad. LeBroni's making him mad. It's going right now. So you might have guessed it. We're going to talk about LeBron. We're going to talk about the Lakers and the demise. We'll talk about all that and their new coaching search. We're going to talk about some of the best players in the NBA. But let's start taking a double step back, looking at the news. Joe, Nuggets are down bad.
Wow.
They down bad. 0-2. They down bad. Celtics look like they have a cakewalk to the title. They don't have to face Jimmy. They don't have to face Giannis. They don't have to face Embiid on their way to the title.
And they might not have to face Jokic. If the Celtics don't win the title this season, this is the worst fumble in NBA history.
The Vegas odds have them 50% chance to win the title.
Next
is Timberwolves at 24.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it requires no analysis. It's just the odds. It's literally, yeah. I mean, what are the odds that they don't win the title? At this point, there is nobody in front of them. If Jalen Brunson beats the Celtics.
All hail. Jalen Brunson.
I mean, King Brunson. King Brunson. Yeah, seriously. Okay. Like, we need to retire King James, the moniker, forever. And Jalen Brunson gets that throne for all time, okay? Because that will be a Dirk-level takedown.
The Celtics right now are storming the castle. There is no moat. The moat is dried up. The bridge is down. They're walking in. All the guards
are
sleeping.
Archers are all sleeping.
They're all sleeping. They're all down. They're getting murdered on the way. There's only one knight standing in front of them, and it's Jalen Brunson against an army.
That one knight is King Arthur / Lancelot / Ip Man / Neo / Toranaga. I mean, he's all of them all wrapped up in / Tom Cruise when he saved Japan. It is just everybody... all rolled into one. / Legolas. And if he gets his hands on a bow and a sword, you better watch
Steve
out.
Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. And he's got a bow on his back and a beer in his hand and a sword. And you better watch out, okay? Because he's coming from behind. You know, you passed him already. You didn't realize. You didn't realize he woke up.
All right, Joe, Westbrook wants out. Then Westbrook said, I didn't say that.
Classic Westbrook.
Classic, Russ. Joe, should Westbrook come back to the Clippers?
No. I mean, I don't think it's great for the Clippers. I don't think it's good for Westbrook. I don't know what he should do. Honestly, at this point, it's a little tough.
Detroit.
He's a little bit in the Melo situation, though. I don't know at this point in his career where he can be productive. And I just feel bad because, like, the Lakers really destroyed his reputation.
Yeah.
And now, because at the very least, he could have been a locker room guy, a vet, an energy guy. Like, he always had that. But we really killed his passion and joy. Of just playing basketball. Yep. And now, obviously, it's just sad. And he's stuck in the Clippers curse.
Cliff, send him back to Washington.
Remember, just real quick, remember like mid-season when people were like, oh, Clippers, title contenders. Kawhi's back. Everyone looks healthy.
Harden got traded for. People are like, oh my gosh.
It's working out. Everything looks good. They're on like a 10-game win streak or whatever. Remember, they were having like a real good midseason.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they look great. They look like the best team in the league. And we were like, you know what, guys? Just you can't bet on the Clippers. The Clipper curse is undefeated.
I said when James Harden got traded that this was the kiss of death, that they have sealed the deal on being abysmal for the next 6 years, because they have zero first round picks until 2030.
Jeez.
2030. That's they have zero picks. They have nothing in the tank except the over the hill guys that they have on their roster.
They are so screwed.
They are.
Yeah, they're dead.
Screwed.
They're dead forever now.
Pat Riley went scorched earth. He told Jimmy to shut up, and he said Tyler Hero's made out of glass.
Yeah.
Like it?
I love it. You know what? Honestly, Pat Riley's right. I mean, what can you say about Tyler Hero? That's just facts. You can't really dispute it. And honestly, although I love Jimmy, I don't love what he did this postseason.
Mm.
I didn't love, like, motivating the Celtics. I didn't love him.
Yeah.
Kind of. Like, you don't want to put your own team in a bad position.
Yep.
You know? Like, I would have wanted to put more pressure on the Celtics instead of giving them bulletin board material.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, I know Jimmy's Jimmy. You got to just live with Jimmy. It's not like the Heat were actually going to win. So it's fine at the end of the day. But I agree with Pat Riley. You know? Sometimes...
Let me just say, the last time Jimmy Butler mocked the Celtics was when he did the timeout call. They were up 3-0 at that point. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Celtics roared back.
Yep.
It's not great to give them bulletin board material. Any team.
I mean, that's a thing, especially against a team that's led by Jason Tatum, who's a little bit not self-motivated.
Yeah.
Why motivate him? You know, like if he's down in the dumps and feeling bad for himself and like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just let him do it. Just let him stay there. Don't get him out of his funk by, you know, adding insult to injury.
Because they
and
like
by the
that.
Way, Cliff. Another thing that, you know, that we've been saying all season, the clear best player for the Boston Celtics is Derek White.
Dude is crazy. He is so the good. Brunson of the Celtics.
Oh. I mean, that guy, he loves the moment. I mean, this guy wants it when it's the moment. And he is so reliable when it comes down to it. Obviously, for three quarters, Jason Tatum's their best player. Maybe two quarters. And then Jaylen Brown always has one quarter where he is – the best player on
either
the planet.
Either the second or the third quarter.
Where he's just unstoppable. And then when it's winning time, you always go to Derek White because Derek White is, my God, he is so reliable.
It makes me think. I'm like, are you the best player in the NBA?
Are you in the top five?
All right, Joe. Rudy Gobert has won his fourth Defensive Player of the Year, tying Ben Wallace for the most all-time. Joe, are you changing your tune on the Frenchman, the Stifle Tower, Rudy Gobert? Has he broken from the top 250 to now the top 50?
That was my slow clap. Cliff. The other day, game two, must win for the Nuggets.
Yeah.
They didn't have their best defensive player, Cliff. Rudy Gobert. The best, actually, not just their best defensive player, Cliff. The best defensive player in the NBA. They didn't have him. In a must win against the former, I mean, the current, the reigning NBA champion, Denver Nuggets, Cliff, and you know what? Without their greatest defensive force, did they fold, Cliff?
No, they did not.
Cliff, let me ask you this. Did they look worse than game one, or did they look better than game one? I I think they look better than game one. I think their defense in particular. Oh, my gosh. Jamal Murray was so frustrated. He threw a freaking heat pack on the court. Jamal Murray was in, like, this guy was in lockup, okay? He wasn't, like, he was in a straight jacket with the chains around him. Like, they went Houdini on him. He was in the tank. Like, he could not do anything, okay? And that's without the quote-unquote best defensive player on the team. Cliff,
yeah,
no.
What? Well, couple stats. Couple stats. Jokic, in game one, 32 points, 44% shooting. They lost by 7. Jokic, in game two, 16 points on 39% shooting. They lost by 26. Minus 16, plus minus, in game two. Minus 12 when Rudy Gobert played.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Rudy Gobert is, we know, he's this, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know how pet rocks have been popular for this long, Cliff. Like, it's one of those things you just don't get, but some people get fooled. No. Gobert is more of a liability than he is of an asset and a benefit. And you see it. Look at the Timberwolves without him. They're so athletic. Like, mm-hmm. You cannot get around them. And as long as Karl Anthony Towns is not stupid and get into foul trouble, even though even in game two he was trying. Like, this guy is, like, always trying to get fouled out. But because there were some calls that could have went against him. You know, I think, like, Kyle Anderson got a foul here or there. Like, that should have probably went to Cat. But as long as he's just engaged and Anthony Edwards is who he is, Rudy Gobert doesn't need to play another game in this series. Like, he doesn't need to play another game. Like,
it puts Cat back into his natural spot. The unfair advantage for the Timberwolves is that Cat can do everything and shoot threes, right? He's the...
Yeah,
change and when, the game at the
when Rudy's
spot.
On the court, and I think the Nuggets did not exploit this nearly enough. Maybe it's because Jamal's hurt, but they should punish him on switches.
Yeah,
because Rudy's the one guy he's useless in the switch. Like, they can switch 1-5 when Rudy's not on the court, because look at all the length they have. Look at the athleticism they have. You know, McDaniels, Nikhil Alexander Walker. Oh, what's going on?
Oh, there you are.
Okay. Yeah, froze for a second there. Yeah, so when Rudy's not on the court, they can switch 1-5.
Yeah.
You know, Ant, McDaniels, Nikhil Alexander Walker, Kyle Anderson can switch, Cat can switch. Like, that's what makes Cat so dangerous. He could switch, and he's pretty good on a switch. Rudy is not good on a switch. And so that's what I feel like Jamal should have just been, like, cooking him every time. But something's clearly, like, I don't think he's 100% healthy. Yeah. Something's wrong. You know, he hasn't been shooting well the whole playoffs. So I hope Rudy plays next game and Denver wins. And it just reveals actually how he can be exploited. They didn't exploit him in game one.
Yeah.
Clearly the Nuggets did not take advantage of Rudy. In game one, how he doesn't come out to three-point shooters, how he's bad on a switch. You know, they leave open a lot of corner threes usually when he's on the court. They didn't exploit that. Like, they kept trying to go from the top in the wings, and that's not what you need to do against the T-Wolves. You got to use the corners. Maybe it's because MPJ, he's not really a good corner three shooter, I don't think. And so... That might be part of the reason. But KCP is. I mean, I don't know. They should have exploited that more. They need to find a way.
They're going to have to learn.
I think they will. I mean, I don't know. It's possible they get swept at this point because as we're recording this, it's after game two. But, I mean, that'd be kind of crazy.
It would be insane. That would be Survivor-level blindside. Like, what just happened? All right, Joe, let's get into it. We're already kind of teasing around with it. Joe, here's my question. Are the best 5 players in the NBA still playing? We got SGA, you got Jokic, you got Ant, Brunson, Luka, Tatum, Kyrie, Jamal Murray, Donovan, Halliburton. Joe, all day or cray-cray, the 5 best players in the NBA, the whole NBA, are still playing in the playoffs right now.
Man, that is tough. Very I'm going to say,
So let me give you some. Let me give you some.
Okay, right? okay.
Because I think the contenders really are. You got SGA, number one seed in the NBA, 28-7-6 right now in the playoffs, 47% shooting. You got Jokic, of course, 27-15-9 right now and 54%. He went 8-1 against LeBron in the playoffs this year and last year. Although his problem is he said we're all about winning culture, and then he went 1-3 after that. You got our boy, King Brunson, 37-5-9, 44% shooting, 4 40-point games in a row, and a 39-point game right before that. Takes down Embiid and Philly. Joe, another boy of ours, the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, 32-7-6, 55% shooting. You know, he has Denver down bad.
Yep.
The dude is him. He had KD down bad. Did the DX. Going the DX. And then, of course, we have the guy that we've been flirting with, dancing around, Luka Doncic. 28-8-9 on 40% shooting. He's not shooting well. But he got revenge on the Clippers because they've ousted him 2 times in the playoffs. And he finally beat them at their best, quote-unquote, here. Joe, are these 5 guys the 5 best players in the NBA where we are ousting our former 5 that we had, and a couple others we had in our top 10, Giannis, Steph, Book, Tatum, AD, LeBron, Embiid, and then we had him in the top 50, Kawhi, but a lot of people have him in the top 10 to start the season, maybe even to end the season, I don't know, but we all see what he's done. Joe,
so
all day cray cray.
Yeah, so I'm going to go cray cray. Only because I don't think SGA deserves to be in the top 5 yet.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, as good as he's been, compared to everyone, I mean, they played the Pelicans without Zion in the first round.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what do you get for that? You know what I mean? Like, you're the 1 seed. You're playing the 8 seed. You beat the Pelicans, who are limping into the playoffs. And then Zion's hurt. Even with Zion, they're a flawed team. But without Zion, they're really, like, not very good. Right? At this level, when you get to the playoff contender level. We'll see. I think we'll see. I think the jury's out. If they beat the Mavs, although Luka's hobbled, clearly. He's just not 100%. Kyrie's been playing out of his mind, though. Kyrie is just so good. He is controlling the game. Every facet. I love how he's playing right now. I mean, I have nothing bad to say about him, literally. Like, on the court.
Did you see his advanced analytics preparation?
I have
where,
not.
He's like, I don't compete against anyone else. I compete against the perfect version of myself. Where he's, like, shooting all this stuff. And then he looks at this huge screen, and it has a ton of, like, shots percentage, like arc, like, you know, like, if you've ever gone to, for those that have play golf, like, you go to a golf, like, simulation, like an indoor thing, they measure all, like, loft, they measure all these things to perfect your swing. He has that exact same thing, heat maps, all this stuff that he's looking at every time he shoots. Like, he practices the ones where, like, a dude is all over his face, like, all over, same as Kobe, right? But then he's using advanced analytics to get to perfection, where he was taking some insane shots against OKC in game 2 and sinking them. And that's because he practices all of those things, like, legitimately practices.
No, he's been so good. And I just like his game management. He's been very in the moment, knowing when he should score, knowing when he should pass, like, when he should go crazy and double cross, you know, step back highlight. Man, it's been very good. If Luka can get right, I do still think the Mavs will win this series. And so, and if that happens, I don't know. Can you really put SGA in the top 5 just because they had a really good season and, you know, and then they beat the Pelicans? I don't know.
Who's the person that you're trying to put in there outside of SGA.
I can't move Giannis out just because, I mean, he was injured.
One bad season.
Yeah. Like, he's come, he has a championship, two MVPs. Like, it's hard to just, and he's still in his prime. You know, he can still be getting better.
He's still averaged 30, 12, and 7.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to just say, like, all right, SGA's in there now. To me, he hasn't quite, in his first postseason, after one playoff victory. I mean, if they get to the finals or something, I don't know. Like, that's a different conversation. But right now, I can't put SGA in there. But Jokic, obvious. Ant, to me, obvious right now.
Oh!
He just looks the part. I mean, he has. It's always kind of been like, I don't know, can he overcome Cat?
Just like, and Gobert.
What Cat is. Yeah, and now Gobert. But man, right now, I mean, already just his annihilation of KD, Book, and especially Bradley Beal, who just looked like a shell of a shell of his former self. A shadow of a shell of a glimpse of the pistachio. His former self.
A peanut without the peanuts inside. It's like, well, so disappointed. You crack it open. You're like, oh, there's nothing in here.
Yeah, and instead of a peanut, it's poop, Cliff. That's what was inside. That's what was inside. So stupid. The shell of Bradley Beal. My former client who I had to defend for years against you.
He's finally reverted. Yeah. He's finally reverted.
And then Luka, yeah. So I agree with the rest. I mean, Brunson, gosh, my goodness. Somebody from, I was having this conversation with my friends. Somebody called him Buff Iverson, and I love it. He is Buff Iverson. Mm. He is Iverson. I mean, the scoring great, but just a freaking little tank version of Iverson.
Yeah. He holds his own on defense.
Oh, no. Yeah. He's strong. Look at him. He's strong. He looks strong. When he bumps, when he gets in the lane and he's bumping guys, I mean, you could feel it. It's like, oh, man, this guy he's got a good.
Yeah, base.
Yeah, good, solid base. And so.
I love that comparison of Iverson with Brunson. Because they have similar, like, winner's mentality. Mm-hmm. Like, they go game. They go win it, you know? Because even though he's not shooting, like, amazing, like, look at his scoring output and look at the W's.
The W's. And when it matters.
When it matters.
This guy's so clutch.
He's not afraid.
Game one, I mean, can I real quick just rant on how freaking terrible Tyrese Haliburton was in game one. This guy sucks. He needs to quit basketball. Like, you know, obviously I'm going crazy. Just, you know, he's young. Yes, this is his first playoffs. Like, so, you know, I give him a pass. But, man, watching game one was so frustrating. He would not shoot, Cliff.
Yeah.
He would not shoot. He wasn't even looking at the basket for, I don't know, 80% of his touches. He was looking to immediately pass, hot potato style. Like, not even drive into the lane, get 2 feet in the paint, and find an open shooter. He was just literally looking to immediately pass. That led to some terrible turnovers towards the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
For
those that are listening, Tyrese Haliburton, 6 field goal attempts for 6 points. 5 of those 6 field goal attempts were from 3-point range.
He had one non-3 attempt.
I mean, that is terrible. He didn't have a layup. He didn't have one layup, one dunk, nothing.
I mean, a lot of the Pacers looked allergic to the ball, except for, like, Nesmith. You know those guys who are just, like, who have that ant mentality? The guys who are like, I want this. Nesmith. I love him. He's one
Nesmith.
Of those guys.
Dude, what a dunk guys. By him.
Dude, Nembhard. He's one of those guys who are just like, dude, nobody's going to shoot. Our stars are not going to shoot. Siakam's looking a little scared. Tyrese looks straight up like, about to poop his pants, and then you got Miles Turner, who's like, you know, Miles Turner's Miles Turner. He's not gonna he's not gonna give you some crazy offense.
He's in the
Nembhard and Neesmith were like, all right, fine, we'll take all the shots. TJ McConnell's like, give me the
McConnell,
ball.
McConnell, yeah, he's a baller.
Give me the ball and get out of the way. They need to start McConnell one of these games and just like let Tyrese think about his life, okay, so he can get himself in order. Look, I think he'll bounce back. He'll play better at home and whatnot. But, geez, it was about as bad as a top 20-type player has ever played in the playoffs.
He did this exact thing in the first game against Milwaukee.
Yeah, he did.
You know how many field goal attempts he had in that one? 7.
He was very bad there, too. But, like, man. I you know, and obviously I love Halliburton. That. Yeah, I love Halliburton. He's one of my boys ascending. But man, I think that's why I was so disappointed in his performance. But Brunson was hitting every clutch shot down the stretch.
He is every time. Not scared, and he performs. You need both, right?
You need both.
I think the storyline that I think is really fascinating about all of this is, you said this to me, that nobody over 30 remains.
No.
They're all gone. This is the most Bane situation I've ever seen, where they stormed the NBA, destroyed Batman, and left them for dead, right? We're talking about the demise of KD, LeBron, Steph, and it came quickly, like so fast, and like they're all here now. Like there's no turning back at this point. And the other thing that we talked about in one of the very first podcasts we did was this generation of KD, LeBron, and Steph has lasted so long because the generation after them did not pan out.
Yeah.
The great Blakes, the D Roses, the John Walls, the Wiggins, the Jabari Parkers, the Oladipos, the Boogies, the Ben Simmons, the Cats. Like, none of them took the reins. So that's why, like, we were lulled to sleep. Gotham City was safe. The Harvey Dent act was done. Right? Then all of a sudden, when peace has been looming, Bane comes and destroys, outsmarts Batman, brings him out of retirement, freaking destroys him. Destroys him.
The darkness is your ally.
Your armory.
He was not ready.
They were not ready.
Like a younger man. That was LeBron right there. That was LeBron.
That's all he can do. That's all he can do.
Could just scream. That's it.
Swing wildly.
Yeah, he's like charging himself up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The League of Shadows. That's what happened right now.
What did he say? I was wondering what would break first.
Your spirit? Or your body?
Or your body? Crack. Oh, gosh.
It was his body.
It was, of course.
Yeah. LeBron's spirit is still there. Although he has been hinting at retirement stuff. But, wow. Like, wow. Wow. This whole playoffs really has just been wow.
Yeah.
Like, what Ant is doing?
It's fast. Wow.
It's so fast.
Just all of a sudden happened.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, it's
like
over.
We got a taste. We got a taste last season when Jokic kind of took over, right? It's like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
That's the scene where Bane is going through Wall Street and he has the thing. That's like the first taste that you get.
Yeah.
But now is the battle in the sewer. I think the other thing that I wanted to do for the people one more time, because I love it so much, is revisiting the Clippers trade.
Mm.
Where Clippers got Paul George. Mm. And the OKC Thunder got SGA, Danilo Gallinari, 5 first-round picks, and 2 pick swaps. One of those picks turned into Jalen Williams, who is awesome. And he is putting in so much energy. Another one turned into Trey Mann, who got turned into Gordon Hayward. 5 picks, 2 pick swaps, SGA. Jaylen Williams. We see the Clippers right now. They're about to be destroyed. Those picks are unprotected. Oh, my God.
Crazy. Man, OKC is positioned to be so good if they do this right.
Yeah.
If they
We talked about this on text. I said, should OKC go trade for KD right now? And you said no.
No, they shouldn't. He doesn't fit the timeline. He's too old. Yeah, no. You got to get – if they're to get anybody – like, I would rather honestly get, like, Zion than KD. Mm. Yeah, because at least he's young. You know, and he might not pan out. But to me, it's kind of worth it to get a guy like that who has a lot of upside, who maybe he can figure it out. Maybe in OKC – he'll be better and more disciplined because there's not as much to do. And maybe, like, he'll just mature and, like, get into basketball and be serious. And he'll be, like, the third guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And just having that kind of explosive guy to be your third guy, maybe even fourth guy. I mean, is he the third guy or the fourth guy? Like, I don't even know.
I'm not sure. Jaylen Williams is that guy.
Yeah, I mean, Jaylen Williams is good, and then obviously you got Chet. So I don't know, you know. Maybe nothing. Yeah, maybe they just get very good complementary players, have a deep bench. Do you know what I mean? Like, have the best of both worlds. You already got a few stars.
Yeah.
You've got a superstar. You've got a couple all-star caliber players. Chet could be also a superstar. And then you just get, like, some – they need size. Get some big men to get inside. Right? Get some 3-and-D guys. Like, you go after a Nesmith. You know, you go after, like, some of these kind of guys, you know, tough guys. Like, or get, like, a KCP type or, like, a Malik Monk type. You know, like, get some of these guys. And then get some size inside. Get a JV type guy, you know, that who can play backup minutes or, like, I don't know, maybe, like, a Mitchell Robinson or something like that. You know, get a guy like this who can – be a compliment, you know, to Chet and play more on-ball defense. And
I want them to get, like, my boy Mikal Bridges. That's who I want them to get.
I don't love that. I don't love that.
Get my boy.
Mikal's a very good two-way player. So I mean, I think they should more go after, like, a what's his face? My gosh, Warriors.
Wiggins?
Jonathan Kuminga.
Oh, Kuminga.
Yeah. Get a Kuminga. He's perfect. Get a two-way guy. Give him a pick. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure the Warriors would like that. They have a lot of flexibility. And the thing is, they have money, too. They have, like, cap space.
What if they pried Devin Booker?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the complimentary pieces, I think.
Like, what if they didn't have to give up anybody except, like, Giddy? 6 picks.
I wouldn't do it. I think the priority more is, like, you already have the stars, right? You have so much flexibility. Try to build as if you had no stars. That's what I would do. You know, like, try to build an excellent defensive team, an excellent... like, ball movement team. Because then, I mean, you're going to have an incredible team. You know what I mean? Like, try to do, like, more of, like, what Orlando has. But you just have better stars. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, imagine they had, like, a Jonathan Isaac type. And they also had another big who could play against, like, Cat.
Yeah.
You know, or Jokic. Like, somebody who could actually play him one-on-one. And they also had another guy who could come off the bench and just be, like, a defensive monster. And you have Chet. I mean, your front line is ridiculous, right? If you had something like that. And then have a bunch of shooters, guys who could just come into the court and they could be on fire any given night. Those guys fit in well with superstars, right? Because they can catch fire. They don't necessarily need rhythm. You don't want to get – like, you get a book, you're just taking a bunch of shots away from SGA. You're taking shots away from Chet. Will Chet even develop? What is happening in Jaylen with Jaylen Williams in this scenario? Does you keep him? Do you get rid of him? You know, they already have a good thing, and their culture's so good. They love each other. They're like all homies. They go to each other's high school freaking jersey ceremonies and stuff like that. Like, who does that, right? They're like a college team culture-wise. Mm. And so if they can stay together like that, maybe you just they get, pay like, these guys.
Maybe yeah, they get Trey Murphy.
Trey Murphy. He would be amazing for them.
Trey Murphy.
Or a Herb Jones. You know, guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine. Then they would have like Minnesota's defense. If they could get Minnesota's defense, right? And then just keep their stars.
Yeah, then they would rival Minnesota, right? Because they got Ant and SGA cancel each other out.
Right? Yeah.
Let's say Chet and Kat cancel each other out. And then everything else is just like, who can assemble the stronger team?
Yes. So you need length. You need size. Those are things you can't teach. And because you already have the stars, like, that's the stuff you should just go after and keep flexibility. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe something weird happens. You package a pick with one of your stars and you get somebody else. Right, like if it doesn't work out for whatever reason, you know, somebody's
they got to cash out soon. Though, all these things are coming.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you build around the team you already have the number one seed. Just get better around the margins, right? And then see where you're going from there. And then if it doesn't work out, you're still young enough to like, all right, maybe we'll trade Jalen Williams.
Yeah,
you know, maybe he's not as good as we thought. So like, we trade him, we get someone else, we get like Jalen Brown or something. You know, we try to get another secondary guy who's going to come in and, like, play real good defense and, like, help out.
All right, Joe, let's move forward to our final topic. We got the Lakers. They fired Darvin Ham. Of course, the Lakers flamed out in spectacular fashion with two Jamal Murray game winners. Of course, as we knew, Darvin Ham, the fall guy, as we knew. They're interviewing, you know, Coach Bud, Terry Stotts, J.J. Redick, or, you know, basically a poo-poo platter of all these other people and unproven guys that are going to get scapegoated. Joe, all day or cray-cray, J.J. Redick should be the next coach of the Lakers, and LeBron has been grooming him this for the gig the whole time with their podcast.
Cliff, one, he will be the next coach of the Lakers.
Mm.
Because obviously LeBron has been grooming him. Because when his name came up, I was like, what the hell? Like, why J.J. Redick? I've never, ever heard of him in any coaching discussion ever. He does a podcast with LeBron, and all of a sudden he's a top candidate for the Lakers job? Duh. Obviously LeBron wants him, and obviously he's probably going to get it. Okay, unless we somehow can get Ty Lue away from the Clippers.
His other boy.
It's going to be J.J. Redick, okay? So that's – y'all heard it here. It's going to be J.J. Secondly, Cliff, because that's not the question, right? The question is, should he be?
Should.
Okay. And the answer to that is, it doesn't matter. All Laker fans, please listen to this. It doesn't freaking matter. I don't know why you think the coach matters. It doesn't matter that much. Look at the other guys on the list. Mike Budenholzer, Terry Stotts, Mark Jackson, Kenny Atkinson. These are available guys, by the way. These aren't all on the list, but they're available guys. Kenny Atkinson, Nate McMillan, Becky Hammon, Stan Van Gundy, Jeff Van Gundy, Mike D'Antoni, Dwayne Casey, Dave Yeager. Okay. Dave Yeager is actually probably the guy I like the most on this list.
I was going to say, I was like, oh, he's available?
Yeah. Like, almost all these guys were like coach of the year at one point.
Of course.
Bud was coach of the year. Wasn't Terry Stotts actually also coach of the year? Dwayne Casey was coach of the year in 2018. So. Like, Atkinson, great coach. Like, people loved him. But look, it doesn't matter, guys. It doesn't matter. The coach in our situation doesn't matter that much. There are very few instances where the coaching actually makes a huge difference. Okay? One is where you have a superstar who is like top three in the league but hasn't quite been able to figure it out.
He hasn't unlocked it.
Yeah, has
Michael
not unlocked
Jordan.
That's Michael Jordan.
Prime example. Kobe Bryant, prime example. Shaquille O'Neal, prime example.
Yeah, even LeBron in his Miami. Okay, like there are situations where it matters. That's one of the situations, okay? Situation two, you have no stars. You have no superstars, right? And you need to create just a system team, almost a college-type team to be able to win, okay?
Larry Brown,
right? Detroit Eric Pistons. Spoelstra now with like no superstars. I mean, Jimmy's a superstar, but like a fringe superstar, right? And just a bunch of guys.
Tom Thibodeau. He's another one.
Tibbs. Another guy like that, okay? Almost the like all the rest of the time, you're basically, as long as your coach is just competent, you're as good as your best player. That's it. You're like almost always, okay? You're just basically as good as your best player. If you have like the fifth best player in the NBA, you're about the fifth best team in the NBA. Like as long as you have a competent organization, a competent coach, like a relatively, you know, just like decent supporting cast, that's what's going to happen. And that's basically what's happening in the NBA. Okay, when you get to the end of the season and there's two teams left, it's usually like the best player and like the second, third, or fourth best player, you know, on the other team, right? Mm-hmm. It's usually like the top like top three on one team and like top five on the other team. That happens mm-hmm. almost every single season.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron is like the top, maybe, I'll be very generous, 12th best player in the NBA.
Wow, that's generous.
After what we've talked about, I mean, you guys tell me. Tell me when to stop when I name a player that LeBron is better than. Jokic, Ant-Man, SGA, right? Luka,
Brunson. Giannis.
I mean, right now, Giannis, KD, Kyrie, Embiid. Tatum, Embiid.
Book.
I think all those guys are playing and have played better than LeBron, like this year in the playoffs, except for Giannis, who was hurt. And so it's hard to argue. Even Kawhi, when he was playing, looked better than LeBron. Even Dame when he was playing, yeah. I mean, Halliburton definitely has not looked better than LeBron. So go ahead and just eliminate him. Even Donovan, though.
Donovan?
Has looked real good.
Game 7?
And so... Yeah,
like all their points?
Yeah. Even Jamal, like when it mattered, was better. Mm-hmm. I think overall LeBron was better. But Jamal, like in the clutch moments, was way better than mm-hmm. all the Lakers.
Which is the role of a number two.
Yeah. And then on our own team, AD was better. So... If AD, whoever's the best player, you know, if LeBron is the best player or AD's the best, let's say AD's top 10, then we're about the 10th best team. And that's like basically how we played. We basically played like the 10th best team. If you get the best coach in the NBA, something, you know, maybe we could be the 9th best team. That's maybe we'll get out of the first round and we'll lose
like
in the second
round.
Like if we had Spoelstra. Yeah, if we had Spoelstra, we'll probably lose in the second round. Do you think somehow Spoelstra is going to make AD better than Ant? Or AD better than Jokic? No, it just doesn't. That's not how it works. It doesn't work like that. So, no, I don't think it matters. If we get JJ Redick, we'll probably be like exactly the same team. Maybe we'll have a few better ATOs. That's after timeouts, you know, for those who don't know, like the play after the timeout. I think JJ is probably a better X's and O's guy than Darvin Ham. I don't think Darvin Ham's a good coach. Like, I've said that many times, but. This doesn't matter, Cliff. It doesn't matter. Here's my question, okay? And this is what we were talking about before. Why is it that whenever LeBron loses, there is an excuse or a fall guy?
Well, before we get that, number one, the Lakers should never, or anybody that's coaching with LeBron, that's hiring a coach with LeBron, should never sign them to five-year deals. Why? Why do you do this?
Yeah,
why?
Throwing money away.
You got to still pay them. Sign them for one-year deals. One-year deals. Make them constantly earn it, right? maybe 2 year deals.
2 year.
I'm
max.
Sure someone will take it. Any of these jokers up here, right? Coach Bud, yeah, he wants a job. Bill Belichick, he wants a job. I'm sure he'll try it. Can't find a job in the NFL. Might as well try the NBA. Becky Hammon, she wants to start. She'll take the job.
I would love Bill Belichick. I've changed my answer. That's my answer.
Get whoever. Just don't sign them to 5 year deals. Look what he has done. Look what he has done. Secondarily, I don't think that we should hire a head coach. I think LeBron should be the coach. Okay? Give him the head coaching salary. It's fine, right? And then have him be the coach. We saw him grab the clipboard. Give me the clipboard. Give it. We saw him yell about challenging. He doesn't have to yell about challenging anymore. He'll add this to his GOAT combo, right? Jordan never was the coach of his team. I have only done something that Bill Russell has done, and I am also the coach of the team. It's fine. The only danger is that he cannot fire himself. That is the only danger. But look. He wants it, right? He wants to do this. The only fear he has is that he cannot blame anybody else. He cannot get anybody else fired. It's one of the linchpins of LeBron's playbook. He needs it. But if I was LeBron, if I was the Lakers, just be like, you want to do it? Just do it. Like, if you want to do it, if you hate all these guys so much, you just do it. And LeBron, for him to be like, you know what? Okay, maybe this does add to my legacy a little bit.
I'm sure, yeah, you probably do understand LeBron's psyche a little bit, but he'll always have someone to blame. He'll still have it was the first assistant's fault. It was the second assistant's fault.
Get him out of here. Get him out of here. You're supposed to be handing me the plays.
I can't believe they got rid of Phil Handy, dude.
Why?
That's just crazy.
Dude, that's no loyalty, dude.
Anyway, Cliff, as I was going to ask you, why does there have to be someone to blame? Why does only LeBron get this treatment is my question, right? Do we do this for any other players?
Do you think it happens with any other athlete? Like, does it happen with Mahomes? Mahomes is the only other person I can think of. Oh, actually, Mahomes, Shohei. Those are the only two guys right now that are scratching at the door of GOAT. Or sure. Like they're on the path to GOAT, right?
Right.
Because you know, we said this in the pregame, but basically I said the reason why I feel like people make excuses for him is because they've already established where they are in the debate. They are already established where they are in the fact. They're like, the fact is LeBron is the GOAT, period, right? So that anytime anything like goes against that fact, people will find excuses for. But the thing that hurts my argument is that people have been doing this since like 2007 for him, like 2008. Yeah. So now I'm wondering if people show hints of reaching GOAT, such as Mahomes, such as Shohei, do they also get the same treatment as LeBron did, where they make excuses for him? I kind of feel like no, but I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, Mahomes hasn't needed it because he's in the freaking Super Bowl every year.
I mean, he hasn't needed it.
He's crazy accomplished for a football quarterback.
Yeah.
Who is, I mean, you know, it's rare for a quarterback to be this successful this early in his career. I mean, he's going to go for a three-peat.
He has three wins.
Which never happened. I mean, how football three-peat?
At 28? Yeah.
That's like ridiculous. It's unheard of.
Yeah, three
and
four.
And he literally
years.
Just did it with like the trashiest receiver core like of all time. Rashee Rice was like the best. Are you kidding me?
He dropped so many balls.
Like, no, there's nobody. And then they get MVS back. It's like, MVS. What's going on? Like, what? How is this the winning Super Bowl receivers? It's, I mean, yeah, Travis, obviously, but it's just, it's crazy. It is. That's the thing. To me, Mahomes, it's deserved. He deserves it. And Shohei's a different thing, because I think baseball is more about stats than it is about, I mean, you need some postseason, right? But it's not really just about, like, postseason, because baseball's so, the roles are so compartmentalized. One guy can only have so much effect on the game of baseball. It's not like basketball. This is what I think, Cliff. This is what, you know, and I'd like to share this with the people. I mean, we talked about it before. But I think for, if you think anybody but LeBron is the GOAT, so if you think, for example, Michael Jordan is the GOAT, you've already lost, right? Because the debate has already been framed in such a way for you to lose. Because it's like, and the example I used was like, okay, let's say you're racing Usain Bolt, right? And you lose to Usain Bolt. Now, probably you lost because Usain Bolt is faster than you, right? That's in his prime. Let's say this is a prime and you're an Olympic runner and you run against him and you lose. It's probably because he's faster than you. But you say, well, the real reason was because of my shoes. And then once you engage that debate with the shoes, you've already lost, right? Like if they say, oh, it was my shoes, they were Nikes and I should have worn Reeboks, but you know, it was just like the sponsor thing. And the second you say, no, those are pretty good shoes, you already lost. The debate's over and you lost because you accepted the premise, right? And you're going to now debate the merits of the shoes instead of just saying the obvious thing, which is you're not as fast as Usain Bolt. Right? Like that, it should just be that. Right? LeBron James's resume is not as good as Michael Jordan's. The accomplishments are not there. Michael Jordan has more championships, has more MVPs, has more finals MVPs, has more scoring titles, has a defensive player of the year. He's accomplished more than LeBron James has in fewer seasons. And he's 6-for-6 in the finals. Right? Like, once you say, like they say, oh, but LeBron didn't have good coaches. And then you start to debate the coaches. You start to say like, oh, but this guy was a good coach and that. And then you get into them. No, because now you're debating LeBron's failures against Michael Jordan's successes. Right? And that just doesn't make sense. Why would that ever happen? We don't do that for any other player. You could do that for anybody. You could do that for Magic Johnson. You could do that for Larry Bird. You could do that for Kobe Bryant. You could do it for Tim Duncan. Anybody. You could look, go year by year and then say, well, was this the best guy? Should this have happened? If this didn't happen, if this guy didn't get injured, if that, you know, if Bynum doesn't get injured in 08. Everybody could say that, of course. Right? If James Worthy doesn't get injured, you know. Like, you could go back and just say that for every single player throughout history, but that's not how you do it. You just take the actual resume and you got to compare them against each other. So I think this is why in the modern era, like, that's why, because we discuss LeBron so much and we give him all these, like, reasons that I don't think anybody else gets. I think that's the reason that he's even, like, even us, right? I think we have LeBron at number two, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I don't even know if that's right.
He's top five for real.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, like, I haven't really thought about his entire resume all out against, like, Magic, against Kareem. Like, not really against Larry Bird. We just kind of assume now because people say it so much.
Yeah.
You know, and then every time he loses, it's diminished. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, such so-and-so got hurt. Like, oh, you know, Kevin Love got hurt. Oh, you know, the Golden State, they were too good. You know, they had such a great team. Like, you add KD to the – but, like, have we really
– So, like, are you telling me – that even you, Joe, are put under a mini Genjutsu. Even you.
Yes.
You know, like how they're like the fight with Danzo. It was like, oh, he's not that good at Genjutsu, but he can make you believe one of those shining guns is open. Just one.
Cliff, I am going around yelling at people about the Tsukiyomi. And I'm like, guys, you're all under the Tsukiyomi. Don't you see? Like, don't you see? And then I turn and, you know,
you like get suddenly wrapped up in the tree.
Like, suddenly I turn to the side and there's Neji. Somehow he's alive again. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Didn't this guy die? Like, wait a minute. It's that realization, Cliff. It's that when you're like, wait a minute. It's still a dream. This carpet. I felt this carpet so many times.
I'll always remember this random thing. I don't know why it's in my brain, but I'll always remember there was a Batman episode where he was captured by the Mad Hatter and he couldn't read any of the books.
Yeah. Me too.
And he was like, I'm dreaming. And that's how he got himself out of it.
Only Batman. Only Batman can break the Tsukiyomi.
He breaked it with his own mental logic. He's like, wait a second.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
So even you fell under the spell. We should think about it during the summer when everything dies down. We should think about it. But look, again, to bring it all back, the coach doesn't matter. Pick whoever you want. Just don't sign a long agreement. Make it LeBron. That'll make it fun. Make it LeBron, and he could coach his son. He could say he coached his son. How awesome is that? Who cares?
He coached,
that's great.
And played with his son in the same season.
Oh, my God. Same season. Goat. Goat. Goat level talk. You know how they always say stuff like that?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
The Lakers should change their names. We should be the Los Angeles Goats.
They should at least... They don't have a mascot, right? They should just bring out a goat. Start there.
That'd be great.
That's great.
And LeBron should also be the mascot. First player ever to be a player and a coach and a mascot in the same season.
He takes off the thing and it's them. And then the guys on the court are like,
what? They look at the bench like, wait, what?
That's so ninja. How did you get there? How did you get there?
Takes off the mission. The guy on the bench takes off his Mission Impossible mask, and it's Bronny.
And then they look at him and they're like, I thought you were on the court. Who's that then?
Oh, that'd be great. And that guy on the court takes off his mask, and it's LeBron. Oh, gosh. That would be great.
And then everyone's like,
what is happening?
Who's that then?
And LeBron wakes up and he's 17 years old and this whole thing was a dream.
He's like, that's how I get out of my own genjutsu.
He imagined us. We don't even exist, Cliff. We're just all part of LeBron James' imagination. This is a dream he's having. We're just a part of his dream.
That's why we're always making excuses for him. That makes sense. This is his own subconscious. Now I know. That's how Lost ends. We were all just the LeBron's monkey.
That's how Lost ends. Oh, that's how Lost should end.
That's the ending. I love it. All right, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the People's Pod. Subscribe, like, comment, share, rate. Give us 5 stars. We'll be back next week with more nonsense. This is SBR with Cliff and Joe. Peace.